let's welcome our evangelist, Pastor Tony Suarez, to this pulpit. Come on up, Pastor Tony. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. What a wonderful Spirit of the Lord. And He's here. But you stirred it up. My dad taught us that the most important part of the service was the praise and the worship, because that's what God inhabits. If you don't praise Him, He doesn't come. And if He doesn't come, we've wasted our time. But you've stirred up the presence of the Lord through your praise and your worship. And definitively, without a doubt, we can say the Spirit of the Lord is in this place today. Hallelujah. He's here, and because He's here, anything is possible. It was tongues and interpretation given in the morning service. And the Lord said to the church, He said, because you took time out of a week when others are distracted, when others are looking on things of this world, but you took time to come to My house, the Lord says, I won't ignore that. I'll reward you for that. I'll bless you for that. I would be expecting this week, I'd be looking. I'd be checking my pockets. I'd be looking at my online banking. I'd be checking the mailbox. It's not just money. I'd be checking my health. I got a sciatica that's been driving me nuts all year, and I keep checking it in the service just to see if this is the time I don't have to go give the chiropractor $45 to. I would just start expecting this week. Wake up. Wait a second. That doesn't hurt. You say that doesn't happen. Oh, yes, it does. It's a young man in El Paso, Texas. He had torn, allegedly, had torn the whatever in his knee. Came to church on a walker. I said, I'm going to pray for you. I just got to take care of some other stuff. I'll get to you. Well, I forgot. He came back the second service. No walker. And I saw him and I said, what happened? He goes, well, you remember how you forgot to pray for me? I said, like, yeah, I'm glad that you're not bitter about that. Glad we're okay. He said, well, the craziest thing happened. This morning I woke up and I forgot that I had torn anything in my knee. He said, I went, took a shower, was getting dressed, and it occurred to me, wait a second, I'm supposed to be on a walker. He said, everything felt good. So he said, I don't know how he was able to do it so quick. He got to the doctor. They checked him. They said what was torn, I don't know how it is, but it's not torn anymore. I would just start expect. I know that sounds crazy, but my eyes saw it. I just start expecting something crazy this week. Because you made time for God. Who knows what God might do for you? A young couple testified to me this morning in this house that since this summer till now, they were believing the Lord for a miracle house. And they just closed on that miracle house. You just don't know if you might be next. I mean, if they got theirs, now you can get yours. I mean, if they were the one in the way, you just might be next. You just don't know what God might do. Amen. The only thing between you and dinner right now or lunch is me. If you have faith, I might hurry this thing on. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? I'm going to the book of Luke chapter 18. I sure do thank you for having me back. I love being here. And I thank God for Life Church and the Thompsons and each and every one of you, the old people, the new people. I'm not talking about age. I'm talking about longevity of membership. Amen. Thank God for all the new people that are here. You've joined a great church. This is not just a gathering place of believers. This is a spiritual family. And if you're sick, they'll pray for you. And if you're missing, they'll stalk you. They won't stalk you, but I mean, they might look for you. But it's because they care about you. You have a real church family, church body. Not everybody has that. And everybody has it. So when you get it, you value it. You do your part to protect it. And all the growth that you're having, all the parking problems, this is a pastor's dream. Good Lord. This is what everybody dreamed about when they went to Bible college. One day I'm going to pastor a church, and there won't be anywhere to park. And we're going to have to hire the police. And there's going to be a traffic jam in front of the church. And then nothing. Not Buddy Thompson. My Lord. Listen. Look at that. And it's not. And listen. Well, see how the Lord caught me, because I was about to say, and it's not just him, but it is you. God has blessed you with incredible leadership, and you ought to thank God for it. Amen. And all the other pastors that are here, God has just richly blessed this house. And you're bigger than you've ever been, and you're going to expand, and there's more coming next year, and it's going to take more hands. It's going to take more people. I was joking this morning, but I don't think I've ever preached for a viral pastor before. All of my kids caught me this week, and they said, "Dad, bruh, Snoop Dogg has reposted the pastor of Life Church." I met Donald Trump, but I don't think Snoop Dogg ever reposted him. I'm just saying, I don't know. I'm saying you got something on the president. But maybe that's, you know, again, I'm not prophesying, but maybe it's a foretaste. Maybe because expansion is coming, and maybe because growth is coming, maybe the Lord is showing you, I'll put you in front of people you have no clue. You have no clue how to access them. You have no clue how to get to them, but the Lord says you don't have to find them. I'll let them find you. Glory to God. I'll put you in front of kings and governors and rulers and inspectors and assessors, and I'll have people come by and say, I want to do this, I want to do that. Get ready. Good Lord, if it was 1997 and Bishop T.D. Jakes was here preaching, I know he goes to church here, but if he's here preaching, he'd say, get ready. There's some good things on the way. I feel it in my spirit. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to preach my next sermon. The book of Luke, chapter 18, and I want to begin reading in verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 8. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and I believe the Lord's going to help us today. Amen. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show them that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. Hallelujah. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests." You men are so smart not to say amen on anything that I'm reading, right? I listen. Do you see how silent it was? My God, it's like a Lutheran service right now. There was nothing. There was a holy hush over the people. Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. For even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his people who cry out to him day and night?" Now, you could change the word justice to healing, provision, miracle, anything that you need from the Lord. You could put it in right there instead of the word justice. Don't you think God will give you the money, the salvation, the breakthrough? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? I want to preach today from this subject. I simply entitled it, "I Insist." I insist. Father, use me for your glory. Your presence is already in this room. I pray that I would be able to clearly and effectively share what you've shown me to show the people. And I pray that as we put it into action. I pray that it would be confirmed with signs and miracles and wonders. And I just thank you in advance that this week, I thank you for what you do next week, next month, next year, but I thank you that this week, there's a special touch for miracles this week. And I thank you in advance for the surprises that I know that are on the way. Lord, I know you wanted to give me a surprise, but I ruined it because I already read your word. And I know that good things come to those that wait on the Lord. And I've been waiting, and I declare this is the week of a breakthrough in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, would you praise him one more time? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to preach again from this subject. I insist. There is a realm of breakthrough that does not belong to people that are casual, comfortable, nor inconsistent, or even easily discouraged. The beginning of this year, really at the end of last year, I felt the Lord tell me that 25 was going to be the year of the answered prayer and breakthrough. And I can stand before you now, coming into the close of the year, and tell you that there are things that I was praying for in January that I'm no longer praying about in November. But what I didn't know is that there was going to be some other stuff that was going to pop up. Between you and me and Snoop Dogg watching at home. Just in case. I should hold up a business card. Buddy Thompson's got friends. No, I'm kidding. Thank you. Get me back in. Thank the Lord for the church mothers to get you back on the right track right now. What I didn't know was the new stuff I was going to be praying for. The new battles and the new giants in the land. The new things that would become overwhelming. And between you and I and Snoop Dogg, there was some stuff that wore me out. Some stuff that left me laying down saying, phew, I need a vacation while I was on vacation. I need a break. And I just came out of the break. We just had, Pastor Buddy was at our conference a few weeks. I see my North Carolina delegation over there. They were at the conference. I was talking about rest. And at the earlier part of this year, I was going to write a book on rest. And then I found out I'm a hypocrite. I can't write the book because I don't know anything about the subject. I tried to rest. I had come home from a long trip. I'd been gone, I don't know how many days. And I came home and I told my wife, I said, honey, I just need to rest. I'm going to come home. I'm going to do something I never do. I'm going to get in that bed and I'm not getting out all day. I said, grant me this one request, please. Just let me be. Please. I never do this. She's like, you're right. You're not lazy. I said, I just need the day. Ladies and gentlemen, I slept all night. I was in that bed all morning. And somewhere between you and me, since she's not here and I can speak freely, somewhere around 11, she starts opening the door and letting it close in a manner in which I can hear it. And it increasingly gets a little louder as we now roll into the afternoon. And around 3 or 4, I'm still in the bed. And she comes in. I said, honey, I never do this. She's like, I know, but a long time has now gone by. Like, I don't think this is even healthy. I'm like, honey, but my back hurts. She said, those are called bed sores. You've rested so much, you've injured your back. And I'm laughing because it was very much this way. I said, but you know I'm tired. She said, you got to move your body. Like, you got to do something. Like, at least get up and walk around. Just, let's get up and just march. At least, I love that lady. I was worn out. I was tired. Now, I know that never happens to anyone in Mechanicsville.
But over there in Richmond, let me talk to y'all. Sometimes we get a little tired. Over in Chesterfield, sometimes we have some drama. And this sermon is for the ones that have said, I don't even know whether I should pray about that thing anymore. See, I had to do like David said and encourage myself and get back up and get back to doing what I know I'm supposed to do. Because he said this was the year of breakthrough. He said this is the year of the answered prayer. But it doesn't come if I don't do what I'm supposed to be doing. Casual, comfortable Christianity will never bring breakthrough. I'm talking about the one that'll give the Lord one wave offering and then do nothing. The one that'll sow one time, do nothing. Come to church for 2 weeks, and then we don't see you for 2 months. I'm not being ugly. I'm trying to help you today. I'm trying to tell you that the frustration that you have, it's not a God problem. It's a us problem. Because his word is forever settled. His promises are yea and amen. And he's not a man that he should lie. He will do what he said he will do. But his covenants are always attached to the obedience of men and women, that when they do what God told them to do, they will reap. They will receive the reward of the righteous if they'll do what they're supposed to do. But consistency is the key to the breakthrough. I'm going to talk about it. You told me to talk about it. I'm going to go ahead. You're not like those 9 a.m. people got reservations at Waffle House, had to hurry them out here because they want the good hash browns today. Y'all are, I just go when I go. My wife is a little concerned about my health. So I did something with her this week that we haven't done in a long time. I went to the gym with her. You should have seen me. Man, I went and I bought the clothes. I looked the part. I mean, just, I even knew the walk. When I walked, it just, man, I look like I'm a member. I'm not even a member. I'm the guest of a member. I walk in. I went to 4 different machines. I did repetitions. Man, I even got down and did push-ups. We got done. She looked at me. She said, well, I said, well, did it work? She's like, okay. She said, it will if you keep coming. It will if you keep doing it. She said, babe, a year from now, if you'll just be consistent, you'll be really thankful that you got through the tiredness and even the pain, and you'll see the difference. Well, I see people that treat God that same way. Show up one service. Tithe one time, give in one offering, give him one praise break, and then say, well, did it work? Consistency is your key. Because anybody can give them the wave offering when they got a lot, but when you got a little, can you still praise them? I mean, anybody could sow the check when they have a lot, but can you do it when it's just a few fish and a few loaves? I mean, anybody can praise them when all is well, but can you praise them in the valley of the shadow of death? Because consistent people will say, I praise them in all seasons at all times. I'll give whether it's a lot or a little, because it was never the amount. It was the discipline. I'm going to be consistent. And I think we just get discouraged too easily. I think we throw in the towel just way too early. And I'm here to provoke you today to insistent faith, fervent faith, persistent prayers, a spirit, an attitude that says, I'm not stopping until I see the breakthrough. We read out of Luke chapter 18 where the Lord says men ought to pray and not lose heart. I don't lose my prayer just because it wasn't answered today. I'm trusting in the Lord that sooner than later, what has been a petition will become a praise report if I just continue and insist on believing in what thus saith the Lord. Now, one way that you can be insistent is in your prayer life. Now, this is something that I've wrestled with.
What is the true act of faith in prayer? Is it going to the Lord and praying one time and then leaving it in his hands, and in doing so, I show that I have faith that he heard me and didn't forget? Or is it the persistent, fervent prayer where I come back time and time again? I mean, I want to have manners. I don't want to wear the Lord out. I think of my relationship with God the way I think about my children. There were times, and so was yours, so don't judge mine. There were times when they just start pulling, Dad, 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 Mom, Mom, Mom. And then they get international, Mama, Papa. I mean, you're like, whoa, man, my boy's going to be Shakespeare. Where'd that come from? Sesame Street, that's where it came from. And you'd say, stop, it's too much. So I want to be right in the way I come before the Lord. Why aren't you thankful that the Lord has every answer that you need? Because he answered the question in the book of Luke chapter 4. Here I am seeking the Lord. Lord, I know we talked about it last year, but see, I haven't seen it. I just want to make sure that you're not, you know, there's not too much going on. I mean, I know Candace Owens throwing a lot of conspiracies out there, and there's a lot filling the airwaves. Aren't you thankful that the Lord will answer? Luke chapter 11, verse 5 through 10, the Lord said this about prayer. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread, and you say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom and says, don't bother me, the door is locked for the night, my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you, but I tell you this, though he won't do it for your friendship, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. I am not recommending that you go to your neighbor's house and knock on the door at midnight and say, can I have a loaf of bread? You'll be on YouTube and I will watch you and I will laugh. Don't do it. Okay? But this is what I do recommend you do. So I tell you, keep on asking, and if you will, you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. I'm telling you, you have permission from God to come before the throne of grace and knock on the door every day and say, hey, Lord, it's me again calling out for my son. Hey, Lord, it's me calling out again for my daughter. Hey, God, it's me again believing for that job, believing for that breakthrough, believing for that money. Lord, I'm not trying to be annoying by knocking on the door, but you said in your word that if I keep on knocking, you're going to answer the door. So I'm just going to apply that, and I'm not going to stop knocking until you answer the door. Ladies and gentlemen, you can take him at his word, and if he said to knock until the door is open, I'd come before the throne and I'd keep knocking, I'd keep asking, I'd keep trusting until the word of God becomes your reality. I learned to pray the word when I was young. This is something that our parents taught us. They taught us to pray the word. And this Bible, I'm retiring this Bible by the end of the year. It's falling apart. You might not be able to see. This thing is falling apart. But here in the cover of my Bible, right here. Let me just show you right here in the cover of my Bible. Okay? I have promises written all over this Bible. I have it in here. I have things. And I'll go back and I'll pray it when I need it. Jeremiah 31, 15 through 17. This is for some parents that are believing for their children. This is what the Lord says. A cry is heard in Ramah, deep anguish and bitter weeping. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for her children are gone. But now this is what the Lord says. Do not weep any longer, for I will reward you, says the Lord. Your children will come back to you from the distant land of the enemy. There is hope for your children, says the Lord. Your children will come again to their own land. You can knock on the door of the throne room of heaven and say, Lord, I come before you and I thank you and I come in prayer, for your word says, don't weep any longer. You said you'll reward me. You said my children will come back. You said they'll come out of the distant land of sin. And Lord, I'm just here knocking on the door saying I'm ready
for them to come home. I'm not weeping anymore. I'm getting ready to celebrate because I know that you're about to answer my prayer. Somebody give him praise.
Hallelujah.
That's persistent prayer. That's the kind of prayer that God answers. It's holy pressure. The widow kept coming to the judge. The friend kept knocking on the door. Elijah kept praying till the cloud was formed. Daniel prayed 21 days until an answer came. Insistent prayer, it's not begging, it's reminding us. See, it's not that God forgot. It's forming something in us. It's reminding us of the covenant. And I would argue at times making sure that we really want what we're asking for. I have a daughter at home. There's a lot of equipment in my house still from the things that she began and stopped. There's the softball equipment from when she joined the Ladybugs. 5 years old. She's now off in college, and I still have Ladybug softball equipment that's like new because she only went to 2 games as a Ladybug and then got over softball. But then she came in one day because she knows me. She came in, Daddy, I want to be in gymnastics. And I'm like, girl, let's go. You're going to be in the Olympics. And I went and I bought the leotards and I bought all the outfits. I bought the little fancy little bomb things coming out of their hair. I bought the mats at the house so we could tumble. I bought it all. Nothing. Then one day she comes to me. Her middle name is Angelina. She comes to Daddy, I want to be the real Angelina ballerina. I'm like, girl, let's go. And so I went and I bought her the ballet stuff and I got her the shoes. And then, you know, it was only a little bit extra if you want to do the tap dancing. Well, I'm like, well, my daughter's going to do it all. She's going to be Shirley Temple. So I got her the ballet shoes. I got her the tap dancing shoes. I got it all. We did one recital. Nothing. And so I learned with that little girl that I don't move the first time. Because she gets all these wild ideas. Daddy, I want a horse. Yes, that happened. Daddy, I want to do this. I want to do that. And now she's off at college. Before she went to college, Dad, I'm going to be a surgeon. I'm glad I didn't buy a hospital. Now I know what Bill Cosby and his wife felt like on The Cosby Show when they when they sent Sandra off to medical school and she came home. I'm going to open up a wilderness store with my new husband, Elvin. It's an old reference. Some people understand it. I've learned with her, don't move too quick. But when she's persistent about something, when she shows that this is something she really desires, something she really wants to do, now I know this is serious. You, for as frustrated as you are over things God hasn't answered, you ought to thank him for some of the prayers he didn't. Because you've changed. You're not who you used to be. Some of y'all better thank God that you didn't marry the one you were asking for in 98. Or in 09. Hallelujah. I'm just saying. Thank you. I'm trying up here. I'm in a turtleneck, but I'm trying. My dad, he's in heaven now. My dad said there was a young lady in his church in Columbia. Her name was Susanna, and he said, I really wanted to marry Susanna. He'd always preached in front of my mother. It's so funny. I really wanted to marry Susanna. So I just started claiming it out loud in prayer. Yeah, every day I'd come in every service, I'd pray, oh God, give me Susanna. Lord, I declare Susanna will be my wife. Susanna married some other man. He said, and then I turned about 30, 31 years old, and I just started praying, Lord, I don't care what her name is, as long as it's a woman. It's a miracle my parents were never in marriage counseling. But my dad would follow it up and say, you know what? I'm glad God didn't answer the prayers for Susanna, because I want you to know he knows exactly what you need. And sometimes we're asking for things we don't need, and we don't understand what tomorrow looks like. And there are some times we actually need to thank the Lord that he didn't do. what we were asking him to do. An insistent prayer, insistent faith, is also proof that you believe God. Because this is just an opinion. People stop praying when they don't think God will actually answer. By the time Jesus got to Mary and Martha and Lazarus's tomb, by the time he got to the tomb and he said, "Remove the stone," Martha had lost her faith and said, "Stop. He's too dead. I know we wanted you to do it, but now we no longer believe what we were asking you for." But see, insistent faith shows, "Lord, even though I didn't see it this week, even though I didn't see it last year, even though my child still won't come to church with me, and my marriage is still, and my money is still, Lord, I come before you because I know what your word says, and I'm insisting that I'm going to see breakthrough come." And so if you can have insistent prayer, you can't have that if you don't have insistent faith. Insistent faith doesn't just pray. Insistent faith acts. Insistent faith is like the woman with the issue of blood. That's not casual. She's insistent. She'll push through a crowd. She'll break the norms of society. She doesn't wait for a miracle. She reaches for a miracle. Everyone else came that day saying, "Lord, touch me." She said, "I don't have time for a touch. I've been dealing with this 12 years. You don't have to touch me. I came to touch you." That's what insistent faith does. It'll take prayer and it'll put action behind the prayer. Insistent faith are people that know how to move with God and do the things that show God that we really believe that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. Insistent faith people will speak it even before they see it. That lady said, "If I can just touch him, I know." She didn't say, "I hope." She said, "I know that I will be healed." There needs to be some insistent faith in us that says, "I just know that this is the week of the breakthrough. This is the week that God's going to turn things in my favor. This is the week that I'm getting the upgrade and I'm getting the promotion and I'm getting the new job. This is the week that God's going to bless my marriage, this is the week I'm going to find my husband," talking to the single people. "This is the week I'm going to find my wife," talking to the single people again. "This is the week of break. This is the week that joy is coming rather than anxiety. This is the week that God is going to do what only he can do." See, faith can't be passive. It's aggressive. It demands results. There's a verse that I'm a little careful reading in 25 because, you know, we gotta somebody's gonna turn down the thermostat. Like, everybody needs to chill. Everybody's just so. Richard Nixon, we need a president come on TV right now. Just give peace a chance. So I say that because the word violence is in the scripture I want to read. It says the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. So rather than use the word violent, let me remind you how we used to Christmas shop 10 years ago. When some of y'all were on the local news fighting other women at midnight. I saw some of you. I know it was you. I know you. I got you saved on YouTube. You came through like a linebacker to get to that new Tickle Me Elmo doll just because your baby said she wanted it for Christmas. I saw you. I saw how you push. You were insistent. You were consistent. You went to Target at 4 in the morning and got in a line to get a ticket so that you could get a Nintendo Wii that you weren't going to give to your children anyways. You're going to put it back on eBay and sell it for double the price. Hallelujah. But you were insistent. In 2025, it's the people that'll sit there and click on the button on Best Buy so that they can get the PS5 before somebody else. You're insistent on that. Well, if you can be insistent and consistent to get whatever gift your child needs, why won't we be that same way in prayer and faith and say, "Hey, Lord, I'm not gonna stop pushing this button. I'm not gonna stop fasting. I'm not gonna stop praying until I see and I receive what I'm believing for."
Sometimes it's not about waiting for permission. Sometimes you just gotta. You got to grab it. You got to reach for it. So it's not just insistence in your prayer and in your faith, but being insistent in your giving. We need to sow seeds that don't stop working on our behalf. Oh, you say, why do we always have to talk about money when Suarez comes? Because it's the number one thing that stresses you out, worries you, and has you working three jobs and two jobs and I wish I was farther along. So read this. Genesis chapter 20. I knocked all my bookmarks out of here, but I promise you it's in the Bible. Oh, this one stayed. See, the Lord wanted you to have this one. It's the only bookmark that stayed in my Bible. Genesis 26. It says, a severe famine now struck the land, as had happened before in Abraham's time. So Isaac moved. Let me just stop right there. There's a severe, they put it on the screen, a severe famine has now struck the land, as had happened before in Abraham's time. So Isaac moved. How did Isaac know what to do? Because he learned from the actions of his father, Abraham. See, when I pray in faith, when I act in faith, I'm not just doing it for today, but I'm leaving it as an example to my children and my grandchildren what they're to do in their time of need. And when the famine came, as had happened before, so in other words, this is no surprise to Isaac. He's been down this road before, but as it was before, Isaac moved where Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, lived. He knew what to do. Now, there's a lot more to that, but we don't have time for that, so we're going to skip ahead. So in the time of famine, he moved, and what did he do? The Bible says in verse 12 that Isaac planted his crops that year. Someone say that year. He didn't wait for a better year. He didn't wait till things clear up. He didn't wait till Michael Saylor told him that their Bitcoin is coming back up. I don't know why I keep talking about Bitcoin while I'm in this church, but some of you are, Bitcoin has become your God. I'm telling you, you move and flow with crypto. Crypto is not the source of your abundance. Your God in heaven is the source. He'll give you the crypto. I'm not against it, but I'm saying that's not where I put my faith. I put my faith in the Lord. In that same year, he planted and he harvested 100 times more grain than he planted, for the Lord blessed him. Why did the Lord bless him? Because Isaac insisted on being faithful even in a famine. I'm telling you that if you'll be faithful in a famine, if you'll be faithful when there's no sign of blessing, if you'll be faithful when your son and your daughter won't even answer your phone call, and your son and your husband or your wife won't even show up to counseling, if you'll be faithful even when there's not a lot of money in the bank account, if you'll be faithful in that same year, God will command his blessing, and I believe you'll reap 100 times more than you ever sowed. Now, I know you've heard that preached for years. I'm just believing this is the year that someone's going to have the 100-fold return because you have been faithful and insistent. I insist, because anybody can give in abundance, but it takes faith to give in famine, transition, warfare, and fear. It takes insistent faith. But that's the faith. Those are the actions that move God on your behalf. Now I'm getting ready to wind the thing down. Have faith. You get on an open table and find your reservation. This thing's almost done. What are those actions doing for you? They're telling your future what's next. When I sow a seed today,
It's not just that the blessing's coming today. I'm telling my tomorrow, you're going to be blessed as well. When I stand firm in the faith today, even though the wind is blowing, I'm not just telling my today, you can't move me. I'm telling tomorrow, don't even try. Don't even try. Learn your lesson. You can't move me. I will contend for what God has said to me. When you give, you defy the spirit of lack. When you praise God in a storm, you defy the spirit of defeat. It shows I'm not changing because His word has not changed. And if you can pray in faith, act in faith, give in faith, then you can expect in faith. Insistent expectation. I've heard so many preachers say that expectation is the birthplace for the miraculous. I don't come before the Lord hoping. I come before the Lord expecting. There's some things I'm believing the Lord for right now. And I wake up every day and I say, Lord, I thank you. Today might be the day that such and such happens. Lord, I thank you. Today might be the day of the breakthrough. And I think, what if it doesn't happen? I wake up the next day and I do the same thing. Because one of these days is going to be the day of the breakthrough. I lost the other bookmark, but I promise you it's there. Oh, Lord, thank you. He kept that one too. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. 9 a.m. didn't get this, y'all. They were pushing me. They were pushing. They want to get out. But since you're giving me time. Thank you. Hebrews 10, 35, 36. Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Don't throw away that confidence. Don't throw away that faith just because things haven't gone your way yet. Just because you've been praying about the same thing over and over again. Don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will, and then you will receive all that He has promised. The old church would tell you, you just keep on keeping on. I mean, you just stay in the faith. You stay in the race. You do the things that you were taught to do, and sooner than later, you're going to wake up, and you won't say, I think this is the day. You'll say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. This is the day that He healed me. This is the day of the breakthrough. I have expectation that moves heaven on my behalf. I believe I have faith that's magnetic in the heavens. I believe that I have a faith in heaven that when God looks down on His son, He says, man, that kid thinks I can do anything. And you, in a healthy way, you provoke God to perform on your behalf. Do you know there was a day that my kids thought I was tall? They thought I was tall. My son asked me, Daddy, did you used to play basketball? So I wanted to perform for those kids. You know what I did? I got a basketball hoop my size. You should have seen me. 1'8". I dunked that thing. Walk away. What? They provoked me to want to perform because they just thought I was it. No, sorry. They thought he is him. Come on, I'm learning the language. They thought I was him. And they provoked me to want to perform to show them I am what you think I am. When you have expectation, good morning, God. I know that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. Ooh, I just got a feeling you're going to move today. I just got a feeling addictions are going to be broken in this house. And I got a feeling that money's coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And Lord, Lord, I just know I'm about to go from Uber to my own car. And Lord, I thank you that I'm going from a carpool to being the carpool. Lord, I just thank you. I just have a hunch that when you have that expectation, God says, why? Watch what I can do, because He already said in His word, I'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. I won't just give you the car. I'll give it to you paid off. I won't just deliver your son from one drug. I'll set him completely free. Watch what I can do if you'll insist in faith. Give Him praise in this house this morning.
I'll close with this and then we'll be out. And if I ever told the story here before, just humor me and pretend like you never heard it before. When I pastored in Norfolk, Virginia, I was believing the Lord for a building. Well, actually, even that's the story of persistent faith. I had no desire to pastor. I had moved from Chicago with my young family, my wife who was pregnant with my first son, and I had always been in Spanish-speaking churches. And I thought, I'm in a new day, new season, new state. That season of my life is done, and I'm moving into something new. But there was this one persistent Guatemalan. Chapina. And she'd come up to me every service. She'd call me pastor when I wasn't a pastor. Anyone else called me brother, she'd call me pastor. Single mother, she'd come up to me, pastor, God told me you're going to start a church. I was like, oh, yeah. See, he didn't tell me. God told me. God told me to start calling you pastor because you're going to be a pastor. And I'm going to be here and I'm going to be a part of it. And I'd have to like calm her down and say, listen, that's not what I'm here for. And then every Sunday when I would preach at that church, she wouldn't come alone. She'd bring people with her that spoke no English. And I was the only one that could communicate in their language. She was forcing me. She was insistent. She was persistent. One Sunday night, she brought 27 people to church that spoke no English. And I got up at the beginning of the service and I said, ay, Dios les bendiga, muchas gracias por estar aquí. Which means, hi, hello, how are you? And, a little, you know, anyways, that's the only thing I said in Spanish. The rest of the service, I preached it all in English. And I thought I did pretty good. I sat down at the end of the service in my preacher chair. That's back when we had, you know, preacher chairs. And I sat down in my preacher chair. I got there, did the, you know, the preacher, you know, back in the day we'd do the, you know, you cross the leg and the, you know, man of God poses. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, there's blood on your hands. He said, you're the only one in the room that can communicate to them. And you didn't have to find them. I brought them to you. And if they don't hear the gospel, there's blood on your hands. I got up, I went to the back, and I started having a Bible study. I said, next Saturday, I'm starting a church. I hope you guys would come. Next week, I had 28 people in that service. A year and a half later, we baptized over 200 people because one insistent Guatemalan lady said, pastor, God told me you're going to pastor church. And she kept bringing the evidence. And she kept bringing the people. Ooh, my shataba kosai. What if you start going home and telling that son and daughter, God told me you're going to be set free of tobacco. You're going to be set free of liquor. You're going to be set free of drugs. God, oh, taba shehera bosaya. What if you start showing up to the house of God every week? Even if the envelope is small, God told me that if I be faithful in little, he'll be faithful to me in much. And I'm just showing up. I'm being consistent. And I know that God will do it. Year and a half later, 200 plus people have been water baptized because of an insistent woman who wouldn't leave me alone. We love her so much. And the church grew, and we needed a building. And Spanish churches don't own their own buildings, is what they said. And I got up to our congregation. I said, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I don't think God's racist. If he blesses the white church and the black church, he's going to bless the brown church too. How come we got to keep renting everyone's basement? I just told him. I can say it. I said, I believe God will give us a building. So we started believing the Lord. And a building became available. And I heard about it, and I went to pray for it one night. I went to that building, Pastor Buddy, and I put my hands on that building, 1715 Willowwood Drive in Tidewater. I put my hand on that building. And when I went to pray for it, the Lord said, why do you ask me for what's already yours? I said, whoa. So I put my hand on the building again. He said, why do you ask me for what's already yours? Whoa. I got back in the car, and my assistant said, Pastor, I thought you were going to pray. I'm like, yeah, but see what happens. God, I touch and agree, and the Lord said, it's already ours. So I called my pastor, and I said, this is what the Lord spoke. This is what I'm believing. And he said, I'll be there in 2 days. Get a meeting with the people that own the building. So he flew in. We went to the meeting. We showed up at the meeting. He said, let me do all the talking. He said, the most foolish things you've ever heard anyone say. He told them, they're a growing church. They have no money. They have no credit. He's the only one that can actually sign the mortgage. And I don't even know if he should sign the mortgage. I forgot. 28,000 square foot building. School building on the side, 300-seat sanctuary, parking for, I want to say how many cars, because you get jealous over here. A lot of cars. And they were asking for a real big number. He offered them a quarter of what they were asking for. When he gave the offer, even I was offended. I'm like, oh, that's too little. I'm like, oh, sorry. He gave the offer, they laughed. They said, did you really waste our time with that offer? And he said, I'm not done. I said, oh, good. He said, not only do I want it to be that number, you're going to carry the note. And they said, ha! And so we have another buyer who's offering us full price cash. And he said, well, then why are you meeting with us? I'm like, oh, man, you are. You're tough. Ooh. They laughed us out of the meeting. I was embarrassed. I was questioning whether I hear God between you and me. Snoop Dogg, I've gotten over, but I'm just saying, between you and me, ask questioning. We get in the car, and my pastor doesn't even address what just happened. He said, he'd flown in from California. He said, listen, I'm hungry. Let's go to Ruth's Chris and get a steak. I looked at him and said, you want to go where? Ruth's Chris. Most expensive steak in Virginia Beach. We can't even buy a building. And you want to go to Ruth's Chris? I just looked. I said, oh. You know, we're not allowed. That's everything I said in my brain. I'm not dumb enough to say it out loud. I mean, I said, oh, okay. And he just starts talking about random stuff. And in my mind, what is wrong with you? We get to the restaurant. Oh, and by the way, not only did he say I was taking him, but he let me know I was going to pay. He said, I bought my plane ticket. You could at least buy the steak. I'm like, well, then let's go to Golden Corral. I mean, you get all you want. And bread. We get to Ruth's Chris. He doesn't order the petite filet. My man goes for the cowboy ribeye. $64, even back then. And you got to pay for the sides and the salad. And he ordered both. And oh, by the way, do you have bread? And I can't take the regular bread. I want the one that you got to pay for. I'm like, eh. They get to me. I'm like, I'll have a side salad and some water. No ice. Just in case you charge for the ice. He's just having a great time. And I finally spoke up, Bishop. And I said, excuse me. I don't want to be disrespectful. But I don't understand you right now. He said, why? What's wrong? I said, you must have a different perspective of what just happened at that meeting. They just left us out of the room. They just treated us like idiots. And then, to top it all off, you want to celebrate at Ruth's Chris, and I got to pay. And he said to me, well, excuse me, Mr. Faith Preacher. I thought you told me God gave you a word. I said, well, see, what happened was, see, my mom spoke English, but my dad spoke Spanish, and so sometimes, yo no sé. No, I'm just. He said, I thought you told me you had a word. I said, I do. He said, do you have a word from God? Yes. Did God tell you the building is yours? Yes. He said, then what are you fretting? He said, you told me that God told you that you're going to have the building. And he said, and apparently I have more faith in you hearing from God than you do that you hear from God. Because I wouldn't have gotten on a plane and come from California to spend 2 days here with you if I didn't think that you really had a word from the Lord. He said, if God gave you that word, then let them do whatever they're going to do. The other people could show up to closing and their pens will run out of ink. If God told you that that building is yours, you put your faith in the word and you keep your expectation in the word. Now stop talking about it and let's eat.
I come to tell some people, if God said he's going to do it for you, stop fretting about it, but start confessing it shall be done. Don't come to God begging, oh God, please, 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 but God saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, because I know. It was 3 months later. 3 months later, I get a random phone call. Reverend? You call me Reverend, my voice changes. Yes. It is I. Reverend, this is so-and-so from 1715 Willowood. Hello. Are you still interested in the property? Yeah, well, I'm sorry. Perhaps. What happened? I said, well, the other buyer wasn't able to perform. They said they had a certain amount of money, but they weren't able to perform when it was time to close. We have to sell this property. We have to move, and the board has made the decision that we will agree to your terms. And I said, what are my terms? He said, you tell us. I said, I'll be right back. I called my pastor, and I gave him the whole spiel that just happened. And he said, you owe me another steak now for doubting. He said, I said, yeah, but okay, all of that. We'll take care of that later. They want to know what our terms are. He came with a lesser number, owner finance. Do you know what they did? They did everything we asked them to do. We got into that building. We owned that building. I was the only signer on that building. Oh, by the way, that building is now completely paid off. We've already burnt the mortgage. 20 plus years later, God did the miracle. But not only did he give us the building because we stayed in faith. But about a month after I bought the building, Bishop, I got another phone call. Reverend?
Yes.
I'm so and so. You don't know me, but the former owner of the building gave me your phone number. I tried to buy that building before you. I thought I had the cash to do it, and some things fell apart, and we weren't able to do it. And I didn't. Like, I don't want to lie and say I'm so sorry, because I wasn't. I mean, I was glad we got it. So I didn't, like, that's always an awkward conversation, you know, like, I'm like, oh, my. Awkward silence. I never know what to do. He said, the reason I'm calling is I understand you and your group have purchased it. But we were wondering, would you be willing to rent the building to us? Now, I have a weird memory. Our mortgage payment on a 28,000 square foot building back then was $1,967.19 on 1.67% owner financing. 1967-19 is the check. And that man calls and said, I was wondering, would you be willing to rent the building to us? I said, I believe we would. He said, what do you think that would cost? I said, what does $1,967.19 sound like? He says, really? You'd do it right for, I'm not going to lie, I'm a little greedy. I went for a straight $2,000. He said, you'll do it for $2,000? That's a deal. Not only did the Lord give us the building, but the Lord gave us someone to pay for the building. Because when God gets ready to bless you, ladies and gentlemen, not only is he going to give you what you asked for, but what you asked for isn't going to be a burden. Get ready for the gold and the silver of the Egyptians to be transferred over to the Israelites. Get ready for the wealth of the wicked to come your way. Not only is God going to do it, but God is going to take care of every step along the way. If you're believing that way, I'd rise to your feet and give them a praise for insistent faith that leads to breakthrough. Oh, hallelujah. Musicians, would you join me? I'm done. Hallelujah. 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 There is more to that story, but we got to go. I resigned that congregation, moved to Tennessee, installed a new pastor. I told him all about the deal. I said, hey, one day you're going to have to refinance this thing. I said, it's all commercial loans. He called me, I think, 5 years ago. I think we're going to lose the building. I said, why? They want to have a meeting. And I felt like
my California pastor talking to me the way I was talking to him. I said, why do you automatically think you're going to lose the building? What if God's about to bless you? Well, we still owe $340 on the building. I said, man, you don't know what God could do. You might walk into a meeting and walk out with no debt. He said, I don't think that's what they want to meet about. I said, well, go find out. He went to the meeting. They said, Reverend, I like that Reverend title. Reverend is, what all do you guys do over there? And he started telling them what they do for the community and what they do in the congregation. And they said, could you excuse us for a moment? This is a little awkward, but do you mind stepping out of the room for just a moment and we'll call you back in? They called him back into the room about 20 minutes later, what he told me. They called him back in the room and they said, Reverend, we originally invited you here because it really is time to refinance the note. But after hearing everything that you all are doing for God and for his people, we just came to a decision. When you were talking, we were looking at each other. And we made the decision. We're not going to refinance this note. We're going to forgive the note. The building is yours, completely debt free. God told me almost 20 years ago, why do you ask me for what's already yours? And God showed it to us all the way through. If he'll do that for me with a church building in Norfolk, Virginia, tell me he won't do that with your children. Tell me he won't do that with that job, that business, that marriage. Don't tell me that God can't answer your prayer. And I didn't release this word in the 9 o'clock service. I felt it in the 9 a.m. and then I didn't release it, but I feel it so strong now. I feel like I have to release it now. There's someone that's really considering moving. Don't move, because you're moving. It's a rash decision. It's a rash decision. Things haven't gone your way, and it's money trouble, and you're just thinking, well, if I just abandon, I'm going to retreat. I heard Rod Parsley say this morning, if you ever study the armor of the Lord, it's always front facing, nothing on the rear, because we don't retreat, we advance. Don't retreat, don't give up. Stand your ground and see the salvation of the Lord. Stay in persistent, insistent faith right there and see if God doesn't give you breakthrough. Now, this altar call is for those that are seeking breakthrough. It's for that mom and that dad that are believing for a breakthrough with their child. It's for that person that's believing for a breakthrough in their finances. The one that's wanting to go from an apartment to a home in this next season. The one that's believing that singlehood has come to an end and that spouse, that mate that God has for you is about to reveal themselves to you. This prayer is for those that have heard every doctor's report, but they're ready for the healing touch of the Lord. If you'll answer the call, I'll see you in 1, 2, 3. Would you come now? Would you come now? We're going to sing that same wonderful, there's an anointing on that song. I've never heard that song till today. But man, I'm claiming that song. I'm claiming that song. Hallelujah. As you're coming, I'm about to pray for you. I'm about to pray over you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hatayala boshadara makara bosare da bahai. Patient endurance. Father, I come before you with your people today. We've heard your word. We're not backing down and we're not giving up. We're standing. We're insisting. We're knocking. We're asking. We're seeking. Because we know what expectant faith will do. Now, Father, as your people cry out to you in worship and in prayer, I pray that you'll answer. May their confession change today from "this might be the day" to a prophetic declaration, "this is the day, this is the day." Now, by the authority of the Word of God, may the gift of healing be released upon your life. May the sower's blessing be activated in you right now.
May healing and prosperity, joy and abundance be your measure. May the anointing of the Holy Ghost come upon you, fill you, be with you, strengthen you, and comfort you. By faith, may you step in to the miracle zone in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah.
Everything I need, everything I need, my Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time, the Lord will provide, my Father has it, my Father has it. Everything I need, everything I need, my Father has it.
Blessings, I'm still believing.
Fill us with joy and peace and overflowing hope as we put our trust in Him, as we put our expectation in Him, our confidence in Him. Amen. You know, as we were in the altar call here, I started thinking about, you know, expecting God to do great things. And I realized that I was thinking about Millie's home, for an example. That was a vision that the Lord gave me 29 years ago for Life Church. And then it took all these years, but you know what? We prayed about it. And if I'm just being honest, there were years that I just stopped praying about it. Every so often, it would just kind of, someone just rekindled it in my spirit. There were times I doubted if it would ever happen. And then when it happened, I was like, Lord, all this time, you remembered what we prayed about 30 years ago. And you said it back then, and I've doubted it many times, but now it's coming to pass. So I just want to encourage you, just because there's a delay, it doesn't mean it's a denial. Amen? Just trust, continue to trust and expect. I love that verse, chapter 18 and verse 1. It says, just keep on praying and persisting and believing God. Amen? Father, I want to thank you right now. My faith is high. My expectations are through the roof. Not only for me and mine, but God, for every person that's in this room, for everyone that is watching online, God, we're going to continue to pray. We're going to continue to trust, and we are going to rejoice. Not only now in advance, but we're going to rejoice when it happens. When we're eating the fruit that is yet to come, we're going to rejoice. And Lord, I thank you right now. I thank in this week of Thanksgiving, God, I want you to know I'm grateful not only for what you've done in the past and what you're doing right now. I'm excited and I'm thankful for what's yet to come. And I believe you and I trust you in the mighty name of Jesus. Do you believe that today? Why don't you clap your hands one more time for the Lord? Hallelujah. God, we're grateful. We're grateful.
Hey, thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.